Behold, the fields are white. It's harvest time. Say not for months, then come the harvest.
Well, that familiar theme song will remind you it's time once again for the Harvest Time Gospel Broadcast. This is a daily gospel broadcast with special emphasis on missions and world evangelization under the direction of Dr. Stanley Ballou of Lusaka, Georgia. And now, here is Dr. Ballou in today's broadcast.
It's harvest time.
Thank you and greetings, radio friends, in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a joy it is to come to your place of listening again today by means of radio and share with you another message from the Word of God. I trust that whatever you're doing, you can just kindly lay it aside a little bit if possible and give us good attention. Give me your ear and let me speak to you today from the Word of God. I'm grateful to God for the privilege it's mine to be born in America, hear the gospel, and be saved by the grace of God, and then to be called to preach, put in the ministry, and have the opportunity to spend my life in the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then I'm grateful to God for the radio stations that carry the Harvest Time broadcast. And I appreciate God's blessings upon what he's doing in this work. And I want you to pray, God will bless us and help us and use us, and God's will be done as we preach day after day. Wherever you're listening, I'm on a number of stations, and the broadcast is played throughout the day. I'm used to broadcasting in the morning times and oftentimes in my preaching, and as I speak, I refer to it as being morning, but wherever you're listening, whatever time of day it is, around the world, we're on several stations that also broadcast by internet and go around the world three or four or five times a day. I'm so grateful to God for this open door and this privilege it's mine, and I appreciate you listening. Well, I want to get right into the Word of God. On yesterday's broadcast, I begin a message from John chapter 4, verse number 35, on reaping the harvest or harvesting the harvest. Notice the verse of scripture. The Bible said in John 4, 35, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, look on the fields, for they're white already to harvest. Now, I don't think we would deny the teaching of that verse of scripture teaches us that there's a harvest, and we must do something about that harvest. And the Word of God has much to say about the harvest. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 9 and verse number 37, the harvest truly is plenteous. In fact, as I was leaving the broadcast on yesterday, I dealt with this thought. The Bible teaches us here that first of all, we must visualize the harvest. Lift up your eyes, look on the fields, they're white, all ready to harvest. And we learn from that the Word of God teaches us that what we see will affect our heart. And what affects our heart will affect our living. The Bible said in the book of Lamentations, chapter 3, verse number 51, Jeremiah, as he wept over what he saw, he said, mine eye affecteth mine heart. And that's true both for good and God, or for evil and the devil. What you focus your attention on will determine what you do with your life. Lot went down into Sodom, and what he saw and what he heard vexed his righteous soul. And Lot, of course, became a wicked transgressor against the principles of God. The Lord Jesus Christ lifted up his eyes in Mark 6:34, and he saw a multitude, and he was moved with compassion upon them, because he saw them as sheep fainting, having no shepherd. So how we view the harvest will affect how we involve ourselves in the work of the harvest. And let me make this statement again, then I move on into the rest of the message. There's two things, one of two things, you and I can and will do about the harvest. We will either ignore the harvest, we'll turn our back upon it, we'll turn our eyes away from it, away from the things of God, and fasten them upon the things of this world. Or else we will involve ourselves in harvesting this great harvest. I said to you on yesterday, we must visualize the harvest. If you look at the harvest, these three things, you'll discover. I just mentioned them yesterday. I want to deal with them briefly, then move on today. First of all, I said to you that the harvest truly is plenteous. Oh, I don't think we would argue that, but I'm afraid we do not We're not aware of it either as we look around us. Could I say this to you today? Every person you see today, every person you know, every person you hear today by radio, by phone, or any other manner is a living soul that God loves, that Christ died for, and that will live eternally somewhere, either in heaven or in hell. And you and I, as God's people, have both the awesome responsibility and the wonderful opportunity of changing their eternal destination through the power of the Word of God by simply giving them the gospel, praying for them, witnessing to them, warning them, and weeping over them that they might be saved by the marvelous grace of God. They tell us that we're now well over 6 billion in world population, and the majority of them have never heard a clear-cut presentation of the Word of God. Many who have heard a clear-cut presentation of the gospel have ignored the gospel and are still lost and must be told again and prayed for again and again and again. So the harvest truly is plenteous. They're everywhere. If you go shopping, they're all around you. If you go out sightseeing, they're all around you. If you go to school, they're all around you. Wherever you serve in the workforce, they're all around you. There are people, there are souls, there are people that most of them are not saved, and they need the gospel. The harvest truly is plenteous. There's never been a greater need for revival around the world of saving of souls, an old-fashioned soul-saving revival, than we have right now in the society that we live in. So the harvest truly is plenteous. Then may I say to you, number two, the harvest is precious. Oh, I wish the Holy Ghost would impress this upon our hearts today in a real manner. You see, we're not dealing with stocks and bonds. We're not dealing with materialism and merchandise. We're not dealing, my friend, with houses and land, with automobiles. We're not even dealing with investment, with retirement. But we're dealing with souls, souls, souls of men, women, boys, and girls that will live eternally somewhere. I encourage you today, as you look around you, every person you see is somebody's loved one. Somebody cares about that person. There's a mom. There's a dad. There are maybe brothers, sisters, husband, wife, children, friends, relatives. They are precious. Every individual is precious to somebody, and we all don't want to reach them for that reason. But oh, let me give you something even greater about how precious this world of lost sinners is, and even one soul is. The Bible said in Mark chapter number 8 and verse number 36, the Bible said, "What would a man profit if he gained the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what would a man give in exchange for his soul?" I want to tell you, my friend, how the Lord looks at a soul. The Lord looks at a soul as being worth more than the entire world. My mind cannot even fathom that as I think about the value of the city of Atlanta, Georgia, the value of the city of Chattanooga, Tennessee, the value of the city in Asheville, North Carolina, in Greenville, South Carolina, or as I just think about any of these cities, my mind cannot even fathom the value of that one town. But I want to tell you, Jesus did not say that if any man were to gain the city of Atlanta and lose his soul, if a man were to gain the city of Greenville or the city of Asheville and lose his own soul, but he said if a man gained the whole world and lose his own soul, what would it profit him? So as far as God is concerned, the value of a soul is worth more than the entire world. All of its money, all of its materialism, all of its merchandise, all of its manufacturing, all of its military might, everything in the world, put it all together and put them in the scales on one side and place the value of a soul on the other side. And the Lord would say the soul is worth more than the entire world. They are precious. You say, preacher, does God really view a sinner as being that worth that much? And maybe somebody listens to me today who's unsaved, and you would say, preacher, am I worth that much in the sight of God? Let me tell you how much God thinks sinners are worth. God loves sinners so much, he placed such a preciousness, such a value upon sinners, that he would not let his own son stay in heaven and sinners die and go to hell. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that he sent him into this world not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. We learn from Galatians chapter 2, verse number 20. Paul makes this gift of God's Son to us as a very, very personal gift from God. Paul said in Galatians chapter number 2, verse number 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live with the faith of the Son of God that loved me and gave himself for me. Paul is literally saying, if I'd been the only sinner that God had to send his Son to die for, that God would have given his Son, and that Christ would have given his life, died on the cross of Calvary to save just one poor, hell-bound, hell-deserving sinner. And may I say to you, dear sinner, today, I don't care what your past is. I don't care who your parents are. I don't care what your plans are. God loves you. Christ died for you, and you're precious in the sight of God. Don't throw away your life, and don't live it in sin, and don't die without Christ to spend eternity in a Christless hell. So the harvest truly is plenteous. The harvest truly is precious. But then may I say to you, thirdly, the harvest is perishing. They're not about to go to hell sometime in the next generation. They're going to hell today. When you speak of the white field, you think of a cotton patch, but not so in the Bible land. In the Bible, they grew grain, barley, wheat, and so forth. That's golden brown when it's harvest time. But when it stays there and remains unharvested, the husk opens up, the sun bleaches out the grain, and that grain is exposed to the element. It would just a minimum rain, that seed would be beat out of the husk, fall to the ground, and be gone forever. But I say to you, dear friend, listen. Oh, may God make us aware of this. As you listen to my voice now, I'm going to leave the radio in just a couple of 3 moments. But before I leave the radio, somebody today will die in their sins and go to hell. We cannot put it off. We must not put it off. We must harvest the harvest while we have time and opportunity. Father, take the word. Use it to your glory. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
The fields are white. It's harvest time. Say not for months. Then come the harvest. Far right.
Well, I trust you've enjoyed today's broadcast. It's a real privilege for me to come here to the microphone and sit down with the Word of God and preach and share with you the truths of the precious Word of God. I am so grateful to the Lord for this open door, this heaven-bound privilege. It's mine. And then I appreciate all the radio stations that carry the broadcast. I am so grateful to God for this opportunity. But as I make the broadcast, it always goes through my mind, I wonder who's listening by the radio. Where all is my voice being heard today? Could I ask you a favor, please? Would you take a moment today, if the broadcast is a blessing to you, and sit down and write to us? This is a new broadcast, our first week of broadcasting, and I hope that you will write to me and let me know where you're at, if you're enjoying the broadcast, and encourage our hearts with a letter. And then if the Lord will lead you to help us in a financial manner, we'll enclose that in the letter. But I do want to encourage you that you pray for us, that God would bless and God's will would be done. Simply address that letter today to Harvest Time, 179 Promised Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia. Resaca is spelled R-E-S-A-C-A. Harvest Time, 179 Promised Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. And we'll look forward to being with you again tomorrow at the same time, the Lord willing. God bless you is our prayer. Yeah.